okay, we're taking up the next piece in Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a little bit of a segue into the Shechita question, which is taken up in Shabbos in Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So let's see how we can do over here. All right. So we're still the Gemara is still occupied with the question of the reason of the machlokes in the Mishnah, right? So we've said that the latest possibility was Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, that it has to do with the gzeira of either Peiros HaNoshrim or Mashkin Shezavu. So the Gemara wants to say he's trying to line up all the heavy hitters. So he says that how does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Go ahead. After Rabbi Yochanan sovar gzeira mishum mashkin shezavu. Right? Go ahead. A little bit complicated though, how we figured out. Okay, so we're gonna derive that Rabbi Yochanan held that the reason for the beitzah, the reason for the issur of the beitzah shenolda b'yom tov or Shabbos, is the gzeira of Mashkin Shezavu, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak's interpretation, right? And how do we know this? We can figure it out from the fact that he said there was a stira between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, it's a little bit of detective work. Go ahead. So what are the two? What was the stira that Rabbi Yochanan showed? And he was Rami and Mishani. He asked the question and he answered it. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. That one may not squeeze fruits to extract the mashkin on Shabbos. Okay. Yep. That would be an isser of... that would be an Issa Deraisa of Mefarik, right? Like Rashi said before. Go ahead. But if they came out on their own... Right, if they came out on that day, then there's an Issa, maybe you'll squeeze them. Maybe you'll go and you'll extract more. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda, right? I'm sorry, that's Tanakama. Okay, go ahead. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. It depends. Go ahead. Good, so if you bought these peros and you put them away for food, right? Like Sammy's orange right here. So then if something dripped out, it'd be mutter. Go ahead. Because since he's not happy with the juice, because he wanted it for eating, he didn't want it for juicing, so the fact that there's a juice there is not good. He's not pleased with that. So then there's no reason to make a gzeira.
Wait, where did you get that?
Sorry?
Where did you get that it was assigned for food?
Oh, im le'ochlin hein mechunosin haperos halalu. If these fruits were put aside, were gathered together for food. That's clearer in the Mishnah. Maybe it's clearer to me because I did the Gemara on Shabbos.
I thought it was being your...
Yeah, I mean, the Rambam is clear in the Perush Shnayos, but it's not a question. It's just he's very clear. Masham Rabbi Yehuda im la'achim la'ochlin, whatever. Ratzlomer, im hichnis, Rashi, im hichnis osona peros la'achila, hayotze mehen mutter, lefisha la'achila hoya muchan hadavar, shenismatze mehen. Because for Achila, the thing that they were squeezed from was prepared. The thing that was squeezed, that they were squeezed from was prepared for achila. Vim hichnison lemashkin, but if you put the fruits away because you wanted to ultimately juice them, asur lefisha lohay yochol lishtos mei schitoson b'shavas. Because you would not have been allowed, you would not have been able to drink their juices on Shabbos. But anyway, but the point is, it means you put them away for food or you put them away for juice. Because the case that you're thinking of a different case. You're thinking of the later case in Shabbos, which I hope we'll get to. That's, well, forget about the milk, that's complicated. But it's this case. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shelanovim Latocha Kidera of a Lo Latocha Kara. You're allowed to squeeze grapes into a Kidera, and Rashi says Shel Tavshil, because there's food in it, but not into a Kara. It doesn't have, well, it's a question, does it mean it has food or not? But means to say, because the Gemara says, Ochel habo le ochel ochelu. I'm sorry, Mashke habo le ochel is ochelu. That's a separate question. That's a separate question. Do you say Mashke habo le ochel is ochel? Because that's a separate question. That's where you're actually doing the schita. It's a more difficult question. But our case is just dripped on its own. And you want to know, can you eat it? So Tanakama says no. Tanakama says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you put the fruits away for. It's Mashkin Shezavu, right? It's Mashkin Shezavu. But Rabbi Yehuda has a little more complicated. He says it depends. If you put them away to eat from them, then Rashi explains, you're not happy when you see the juice. So if you're not happy when you see the juice, you're not going to want to juice them more. It's not shayach to make the gzera. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. It's not shayach to make the gzera. Leka lemigzar shema yischot. What are you worried? He's gonna squeeze them, but he's not happy with the juice to begin with. All right, doesn't sound like a halachic kind of a gzera. Right, so, you would think that the gzera should just be mashim shazavu, who makes the Tanakama seems more consistent. Rabbi Yehuda is like going into the guy's mind. But what's Rabbi Yochanan deriving from this? What does it have to do with the Beitza case?
Alma kol ochlin Rabbi Yehuda uchla defresu.
Rashi. Let me catch up to you. Alma kol ochlin the Rabbi Yehuda uchla defresu. What does that mean?
Alma midut amar im ochlin ayutim hen mutter.
So since he said if the source has the shame of achila, if the source is le'ochlin, right, the fruit was for achila, then whatever comes out of it is considered is mutter, right? So why should it be mutter? So it means that he's saying it's a general rule. Kol le'ochlin, I mean, b'davar yotzman ochla defresu. There must be that anything that is designated as an ochel, whatever comes out of it, is what? Is ochel. Has a shame ochel. It's just ochla defres, right? Ve'eino b'chlal gzeiros mashkin shazavu. And now we see for sure. We see for sure one thing. That Rabbi Yehuda does not take the gzera of Mashkin Shezavu at face value. He doesn't say anything that's a mashke, any liquid that comes out, he doesn't say anything that's excreted from another object is a Mashkin Shezavu. He can't learn that way. I mean, look, you're going to say from Rabbi Yehuda, it's clear that he does not simply hold, like we were saying yesterday, that anything that's excreted from another object is under the gzera of Mashkin Shezavu. Because it's the very, Eincha Mashkin Shezavu G'dolah Mizu. I mean, this is Mashkin that came out. So why is it mutter? Because he holds that if it has a shame achila, if it has a shame ochel, It's not part of the gzeira of mashkin shezavu. It's the only issue of mashkin shezavu. Like Rashi explains more in Shabbos, is like it's nase ritzono. It's like it became like it was kavua for the thing, and your kvius was fulfilled. Notice it had to be defined ahead of time as a mashke. He's limiting the category of mashkin shezavu to that which was defined by you as a mashke. But if you put it aside for ochel, you never defined it as a mashke. You always defined it as an ochel. So there's no iser. So therefore, it just falls under the category of like, my orange was split. My orange was split into parts. Right? Now, there's two ways to look at an orange when you juice it. You could say, now I've got what I really wanted. Right? Now I've got the essence. I've got the mashke. Right? Or I can say, my original chefza is divided into two parts. Okay, means say like this. Either I can say it was really designated as a mashke, and it was trapped inside the fruit. So now when I juice it, it's fulfilling its designation, right? And I throw away the. Now I've got what I really wanted. Now I've got the ikker. Right? If I could have bought orange juice in the store, I would have. But I couldn't. I had to buy oranges, and I got my juice now. But basically, I bought the orange in a natural container. I bought the juice in a natural container. If you want to get poetic about it. Okay. Or you can say, no, I just bought a fruit, and it's a food. It has two components, and the components are separated. Maybe they separated in a strange way. I would have maybe preferred to separate them, you know, into segments. But it's basically no different than my food got separated. It would be no different than if I had, steak and some of the juices came off. You wouldn't say, oh, now I've juiced my steak. Great, I got the juice. No, you'd say it was a steak and it separated into pieces. It's just ochel diferus. You don't look at it like a product of a juice. You look at it like my ochel separated. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds the gzeira of mashkin shezavu is not only it has to be a liquid, but it has to be a liquid that was defined as a mashke. It has to really be something that was defined as a mashke, not just on something that was excreted from another object. Let's put it that way. Okay? So if I were to ask you, could Rabbi Yehuda hold the beitza is under the category of mashkin shezavu? Of course not. Right? Okay, in other words, what Chaim is saying is like this. Maybe it's a better way to put it. In other words, he holds mashkin shezavu is a gzera on mashkin, right? But mashke is not defined by the state of liquid versus solid, right? Mashke is defined by the fact that it was that the mashke was the ikar of the thing. But the point that Gemara is focusing on is the other side, really. Right? Is that what you're saying? The other side is the important part, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That you see that why is the juice that comes out of the fruit not aser? If it was lachila, of course, it has a shame ochel. So you see, from according to Rabbi Yehuda, whatever has a shame ochel is not under the gzeir of mashkin shezavu. Right? Whatever has the shame ochel is not under the gzeir of mashkin shezavu. And it can even have the shame ochel if it's a liquid, provided it was defined as an achila, right? Is that what you're saying? You're saying more.
He's saying that it must be that he viewed. It's not that you're saying that he defined it as an ochel, and therefore it's not under, and therefore it's not committed to gzera. I'm saying like Rabbi Yochanan looks at Yehuda's halacha and says, from the fact that he's mechalik, it must be that he's viewing this mashke as having a shame ochel, because otherwise there would be no way to be
mechalik
in the
gzeira. Right. But the important thing is, what's the gzeira on? That's the important question.
Right. No, I agree.
So that's Rashi. Mi de ka'amar im la'ochlin ayotzeman mutter. we know there's a gzeira of mashkin shezavu, but yet he says, if you put the fruit, if you had bought the fruits for achila, whatever comes out of them is mutter. So how does that shtim with mashkin shezavu being aser, right? So since he said if it's la'achila, then it's mutter. So then we see kol la'ochel amina b'davar yotzim hen ochel differs. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that was designated for achila, whatever comes off of it, is just considered ochel. Like I was saying, it's just considered ochel. You don't consider there to be a product. You just consider there to be a separation. Right? Ve'eino b'chlal gzeiras mashkin shezavu. To be a mashkin shezavu, the mashke has to be a product, not just a separation. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, right? If I take an apple and I cut it in half, I don't say it produced, this apple produced this half. No, it's just the apple split into two, right? So that's ochle diferis. That's what we mean by ochle diferis. It means my ochel just separated. My ochel increased in number, okay? But mashkin shezavu, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Anytime you have something that the parent is considered defined for achila, anytime I have something that the primary object is designated as an ochel, then you don't have products of mashkin from things that are defined as ochlin. You just have separations. You only have a mashke as a product when the parent is kavua for that product. I mean, it's mechunosin hein lemashkin. But as long as the primary object was defined la'achila, then you just have separations of achila. And there's no cheftza of a mashke to be under the gzera of mashkin shezavu. The cheftza of a mashke, according to him, is the product of a mashke, not just a liquid separation. Because there's a difference. If it was l'shem achila, then even though there's a liquid separation, that's just called my ochel separating. You don't say my ochel produced a mashke. That you never say according to Rabbi Yehuda.
You mentioned that.
Very limited, strict form. Right? Okay, in other words, Matt is pointing out, correct, that the Rashi is in two stages over here. The first Rashi of Imla Ochlin is explaining why the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, that he was motivated by the factor that there's no necessity for the gzeira on a mashke that the person is not happy with. You don't worry. He wasn't worried that a guy is going to continue to juice something that he wasn't happy with the initial juice. But the second Rashi is explaining how he formulated the gzera to be tailored to that need, by defining a mashke not by its liquid form, but by its product, by being a product. But he could have been like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchak, who held that the Tana expanded the category, but Rabbi Yehuda held the opposite, that you limit it as much as you can. So he wasn't worried a person would throw good juice after good ochel after bad, right? Because he really wanted it for achila. He lost some of it. He wasn't worried the guy would say, whatever, I'll just juice the rest of it. Okay, good. Okay. So where's the stira? So the stira is, because there's another Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda said, if a person has what? He has fruits, right? He has fruits that are tevel, meaning to say he didn't take the miser from it, right? So you're not allowed to take miser and trumos and maestros on Yom Tov or Shabbos. That's like a tikkun, right? So what happened? The guy finds himself on, what's the situation? It's a two-day Yom Tov, right? Yom Tov, it's in Golas, so he has 2 days of Yom Tov. And he comes on the first day and he forgot to take his trumas and maestros from his peros. So there's a trick he can do. What's the trick? He can make a tanai. He can make a tanai. So what is the tanai?
If the first day is whole, then you're separating.
So he's on the first day, right? Let's see Rashi. He says, on the first day of Yom Tov, he says, in my Yom Chol, It can't be that they're both Kodesh, because it's Sveka Dioma. So he says, if today is Chol and tomorrow is Kodesh, so these are Maiser. I'm taking Truma and Maiser right now, right? Because I can take Trumas and Maisers on Chol. And if today is Kodesh, then I'm not doing anything. It's interesting that you can make it tonight like that, right? See, my action is an action of Afrashas Trumos and Maisros Al Tanai, right? And then tomorrow he'll do the same thing. Right? He'll say, if yesterday was Kodesh, if today is Chol and yesterday was Kodesh, then he takes the same fruits he took yesterday, right? And he says, now I'm taking these as Maiser, because yesterday was Kodesh, so it wasn't a Maiser. And if today is Kodesh and yesterday was Chol, then the Truma was already taken, right? And then when can he eat it? He can't eat it until the Sheni, because it's not a Vaday Maiser until Sheni. Right? Okay, go ahead. That has nothing to do with us. That's just interesting. V'chein l'gabi beitza, it's shtei kedushos. Meaning you don't look at it like one long day. So one is Chol and one is Yom Tov. So therefore, the egg that's born on the first day should definitely be mutter in the second day because of the same manashach. If yesterday was Chol, so the egg is just was mukhan for today already. And if yesterday was Kodesh, so today is Chol. No, so you eat an egg that's on a Chol. But he said you can't eat it on the first day. So you see, this is all Rabbi Yochanan. So you see that now we see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that anything that drips from its source on Yom Tov, even if it's an ochel, is aser. It's a steer on Rabbi Yehuda, right? So it's a stira, in other words, since Rabbi Yochanan thought that the Beitzer presented a stira to what Rabbi Yehuda said by Mashkin Shezavu, it shows that he holds the gzera of the Beitzer is Mashkin Shezavu. If Rabbi Yochanan thought, for instance, that the Isser of the Beitzer was Hachana de Rabbah, it wouldn't be a stira on. Why would this two Mishnayim present a stira on Rabbi Yehuda? We can peer into Rabbi Yochanan's mind over here by seeing what he thought was a contradiction, how he viewed the gzera of Beitza. Since he thought these two Mishnayim were a stira, it must be he considered the Isser of Beitza of Mashkin Shezavu. Because he's saying it's presenting a stira on Mashkin Shezavu. So he must have held Beitzim was midin Mashkin Shezavu.
What's the contradiction here between the two?
Oh, so the contradiction is on the first statement in the Mishnah on Shabbos, he says only things that have a shame of a mashkia, a true mashkia, is under the Mashkin Shezavu. The primary case of Mashkin Shezavu is where you take a fruit and you squeeze it and you get a juice. And Rabbi Yehuda held, but if anything has a shame ochel, it's not under the shame of Mashkin Shezavu. Even a juice that has a shame ochel is not under the gzeir of Mashkin Shezavu. So Kolshkin, an egg is a real ochel. And the chicken is a real ochel. Whichever side you want to argue on. Is it from the side of the chicken or from the side of the egg? But either case, even if it's you see from the egg, Rashi says, "Kol midi dizav mi makom v'yontav afilu ochla aser." If you're gonna say that the egg is aser, that's a very expansive formulation of Mashkin Shezavu. Whereas the other Mishnah was saying that Rabbi Yehuda made a very limited definition of Mashkin Shezavu. So which definition of Mashkin Shezavu did he have? But you see, so what was his answer? So he had a very sharp answer. Switch them. One of them can't be really Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but the point is, umidikom merami luadadi. This is the Gemara coming in now. And since he thought it was a stira, shma mino chad taimahu, that shows you that he thought it was the same reasoning. right? Umidika, we'll skip the Rashi Mechlefes for a minute. But Umidika Mirami Rabbi Yochanan Mashkin Shazavu Beitzah Hadadi, since he put one against the other, he said it was a stira of Mashkin Shazavu and Beitzah. He thought they were sosar each other, the two cases of Mashkin Shazavu and Beitzah. Shma mino chataimu. Uman dosar beha, osar beha. Whoever holds from Mashkin Shazavu would hold the Beitzah should be asr. With the Shari Baha, Shari Baha. And if you don't hold from Mashkin Shazavu, the Beitzah should be mutter. So you see, he held the only reasoning for Beitzah Shinolda is Mashkin Shazavu. So that's how he's going to learn. The Machlok is Beishamai and Beis Hillel. Beishamai apparently held, did not hold from the Gzeir of Mashkin Shazavu, and Beis Hillel did hold from the Gzeir of Mashkin Shazavu. Right.
I thought this Mishnah just violated the principle that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kol Uklin Uchol differs.
No, because it's only if you say that the Beitza would be usher because of Mashkin Shazavu. Right. Now, if I tell you that Rabbi Yehuda holds Uchol differs is not under the Gzeir of Mashkin Shazavu, right? And I tell you, but Rabbi Yehuda holds the Beitzah as Usr. So what would you deduce? There's another reason for the Beitzah being Usr. Right? It's not a stira. There's another reason why the Beitzah is Usr. Hachana the Rava, maybe. Right? But if I tell you, here is a stira, how could Rabbi Yehuda possibly say Mashkin Shazavu is not Usr by Ochel and say the Beitzah is Usr? That shows you what I think about the only possible reason for the Beitzah being Usr. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan did not conceive of any other possibility for the Beitzah being Usr other than the Gzeir of Mashkin Shazavu. That's why he thought it was a stira. To the degree that he held, you have to switch one of the Rabbi Yehudas. But it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan held the tam of the Gzeira of the Beitzah Shenolda is Mashkin Shazavu. Like Rabbi Yitzchak. Which one do we switch? We switch the one on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, but what comes out now is a strange thing. That from this Gemara and Beitzah, you learn that you've got to switch the sheet to Zim Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? That's what Rashi says. Shitas HaMishnah. That's the one in Shabbos. Because the other one is not a Mishnah. Shitas HaMishnah. De'ein Sochtin. I'm sorry. The Shita of the Mishnah of Ein Sochtin is what you switch. Ve'epach to Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbanan. So now you got to read like this. Ein Sochtin saperos lotzi min mashkin v'myotzu mi'asman asurin divri Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds from an expansive shita of Mashkin Shazavu. Right? Even Mashkin that really have a shame of Ochel. Right? Any mash, anything that's excreted from another thing is Usr. It's not limited to those that have a true shame Mashke. Even if it was Muchu Nosum La Shem Achila, and it really, he's not going to argue that it does have a shame of Ochel. But he holds the Gzeira didn't select the true shame mashke. Even a mashke has a shame ochel. So therefore, that's not a stira between saying the Beitzah is also. You might not have known it from this mission alone, but we see that he expands the category of the original malacha, of the original case of from a true mashke to a mashke with the shame ochel, and he even goes to an actual ochel. That's what we see from Beitzah. It's not a stira because he's already going in that direction. And the Rabbanan are the ones who hold it's only going to be Usr if it has the Shem Mashke. Okay? That might pose difficulties when we get to Shabbos. We have to keep that in mind.